Now, oftentimes we think of saints as being people who are saintly. We describe saints and sinners as if they are two separate things. But ultimately, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a saint. You are all saints. What makes us saints is not the content of our heart, but the Holy Spirit that dwells in each of us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is that Holy Spirit that sanctifies us. And in fact, that is the root of the word that is used here for saints. The sanctified, you might say. To all of the sanctified in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Today we're going to start a new series, and it's based in the book of Philippians. The title of the series is The Gospel Worthy Life. The entire book of Philippians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi that expresses deep joy. And joy is something that we need in this time. And so, over the next 9 weeks, we're going to be going verse by verse through the book of Philippians. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. This is Philippians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, open up our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us so that we may glean the fruit of knowledge from these fields of grace. This we pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. 2020 has been a difficult year. We've seen wars and rumors of wars. We've seen economic recession. We've seen murder hornets. We've seen racial injustice, civic unrest, political instability. Of course, the coronavirus and COVID-19 have completely upended our society, and all the protocols that have been put into place to keep us safe and from spreading the disease have worn all of our nerves thin. It's a difficult time to be alive. Over the last 2 weeks, I took advantage of the bishop's offer to take time off for a season of refreshing. I certainly needed it. I've been planning and providing worship each week online and still working full time and taking a very difficult theology class through a course of study online. Full disclosure, I had no idea whatsoever what I was going to preach on through the summer. Then in my studies during the clergy renewal time, I happened to read through the book of Philippians again. And I was inspired to put together a 9-week series that will cover every verse of this book through the end of August. In preparation for this series, I invite you to read the entire book. It's just 4 chapters, 104 verses. It should take about 20 minutes to read. Just as we did with the book of Jude last year, we are going to bathe in the words of Paul to the church in Philippi. And it is my hope that we will find some joy in its teaching that will encourage us through the difficult times in which we currently live. Philippians is a letter that Paul wrote to the first church that he established in modern Europe. He wrote it toward the end of his first imprisonment in Rome, which means that he had been under guard for about 2 years at this point, and things were not looking very good for him. Ultimately, he would be released from that imprisonment, only to be arrested at a later time and ultimately martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. This letter is the last of 4 that he wrote during his imprisonment, the other 3 being Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon. But Philippians is unique in that every word that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi expresses a deep joy that belies Paul's current circumstance. What can we learn from this letter, especially now? We can learn how to find joy in life, no matter what is going on. The joy Paul felt and the joy we ought to experience comes from the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In God, we find joy unspeakable that supersedes any hardship we endure. This joy is indefatigable, eternal, and its source is external to us. And that is why we can have joy in our circumstances as Paul did in his. Let this letter encourage you this summer as we continue to endure what for many has been the most difficult of years. The title of this series is The Gospel Worthy Life, and it comes from verses 27 and 28 of chapter 1. Paul writes, "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents." Let this be our guiding principle as we dive into Paul's letter to the Philippians. The section that we read today can be broken down into 3 sections, 3 main sections. First is a salutation. Second is an expression of thanksgiving. And finally is a prayer of hope. The salutation is the first in 2 verses. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a standard greeting that Paul writes in all of his letters. He introduces himself. Who is writing the letter? Paul. Paul is writing the letter. Actually, he says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus." At this time, Timothy, who was with him in Philippi originally, had come to him in Rome. And his imprisonment, his house arrest in Rome was such that he was allowed to have visitors. And so Timothy was helping him to write this letter, probably as a scribe. Paul dictating the letter to Timothy, Timothy writing it down. Ultimately, as we'll see later in the letter, Timothy will take this letter to the church so that they can read it themselves. So that's who writes the letter. Who's the letter from? Paul. Who is the letter to? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with bishops and deacons. Now, oftentimes we think of saints as being people who are saintly, you know. We describe saints and sinners as if they are two separate things. But ultimately, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a saint. I'm a saint. You don't have to call me Saint Brett. Please don't. But you're saints. You are all saints. What makes us saints is not the content of our heart, but the Holy Spirit that dwells in each of us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is that Holy Spirit that sanctifies us. And in fact, that is the root of the word that is used here for saints. The sanctified, you might say. To all of the sanctified in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Bishops, episkopos, deacons, diakonos. These are the ones who are serving as ministers of the gospel. Then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippi, where is Philippi? Philippi is right on the edge of, it's a Roman colony, as a matter of fact. And it's like I said, it's the most, the easternmost city in what is modern day Europe, where Paul had first established a church there. We read about that in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verses 13 and 15 says, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which was a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. It had been a conquered city, and as a conquered city in Macedonia, Rome colonized it. We remained in this city some days, and during this time, Luke was there with them, because that's why he's writing we remained in the city some days. But at this time, they took it upon themselves to establish a church there. We're going to get into that in a minute. But this greeting, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, such a beautiful greeting. Would that we all would greet each other like that, right? Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the root of our sharing of the peace in services when we say to each other, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace be with you. We grant peace, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a standard greeting that he uses in many of his letters. In fact, Romans chapter 1 says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, there's that word again, the sanctified, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're writing letters during this season, I would encourage you to open a letter that way. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing way to open a letter, don't you think? So that's the salutation part of the letter of what we read today. Next, we're going to get into Paul's thanksgiving. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul gives thanks. He gives thanks for a very specific reason. Thanks to God in prayer for the sharing of the gospel in Philippi. Thanks to God in prayer for the sharing of the gospel in Philippi. What we read about Philippi in the book of Acts is this. Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15 now. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Now, there were Jews in Philippi, but there weren't 10 Jewish men in Philippi. Why? They had no synagogue. In order to have a synagogue, you had to have at least 10 men. But there were Jewish women, and they would gather at the riverside, and these women would pray together. Now, it says, verse 14, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, which means she was quite rich. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So she was listening very intently to what Paul was teaching there at the riverside. And after she was baptized, because there was running water right there, they might as well. After she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed on us. So in other words, they stayed with Lydia while they were in Philippi. This is where, so she was a wealthy woman. You know, she was a seller of purple goods. Purple dye is a very expensive dye, and it was only reserved really for royalty. So, you know, she was selling these purple goods to royalty. So she had some means. She had a nice house, and it was in that house that worship was established. In the very early days, they would worship in houses, but they're not houses like we think of today. Not with like a living room and a dining room and a kitchen and that sort of thing. But we're talking about, when we talk about a house, we're talking about a household. Remember, we spoke about the Jewish household, how it would have like a courtyard. And in that courtyard, there would be many dwellings all around. No doubt people would gather in the courtyard of Lydia, where they would worship on the first day of the week to commemorate the rising of Christ from the grave. So this is how they established a church in Philippi. And he gave thanks to God in prayer for the sharing of the gospel. He shared the good news of Jesus Christ. It took root, and it had been growing now and bearing fruit in this community. And so he was giving thanks to God for that. Now, verse 6, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Man, that is a great verse, isn't it? I think that should be a memory verse. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And then he says, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. But to bring about a completion, to be perfected in the name of Jesus Christ for the day of the Lord. God is the one that Paul is referencing here when he says, the one who began a good work among you. Who's the one who began a good work among them? God. God, through the Holy Spirit, began a good work among them and will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3 says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we want to be perfected. We want this work that God has begun in us to be completed by the day of Jesus Christ. Now verses 7 and 8 says, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Paul justifies his joy because of what is happening in Philippi. He rejoices that God's grace abounds in the church and is being shared in the city. As Christians, we all ought to rejoice whenever the good news is proclaimed and whenever it is received, whenever the seeds of the gospel take root in the hearts of men and women in the community. We should be grateful, we should give thanks, we should joy. We don't joy in our circumstances. Certainly bad things happen all the time, and we're living in a very difficult time right now. But we can joy in the eternality of God in the eternal promise of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul justifies his joy because of what is happening in Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16, next week we'll see this. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. He says, I'm in chains for the gospel. I am imprisoned in Rome because of the gospel. But he didn't just take that time to build up a defense for himself. He was proclaiming the gospel to everyone around him. Again, we're going to see that next week. But the gospel is what brings Paul joy. That it is taking root, that it is spreading throughout the city of Philippi. So this is his thanksgiving. Then he ends his salutation with a prayer of hope. This is my prayer, he says, verse 9. This is my prayer that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. There's a lot there. First, he says, I pray that love will increase. I pray that love will increase. For God is my witness how I long for all of you to with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge. Remember that we are to love God with our whole heart, with our mind, with our soul, with our strength. To love God with our mind means that we increase in knowledge of Him, that we seek to know Him, that we seek to understand Him. Why? Because we are made in His image, and as image bearers of God, we want to be faithful to that image. Our love increases in knowledge of Him. And full insight, for what reason? To help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless. That they will be pure and blameless in the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13 says, May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with His saints. Jesus will return one day. What are we going to be doing when He returns? Think about the things that you do throughout the day. And think if there's anything that you would be ashamed of if Christ returned at that moment. You see, what Paul is praying for here is that the people in Philippi would be perfected so that their hearts would only be to rejoice in Jesus Christ and to anticipate His return, to wait for His glorious reappearing, to know that He will return in glory and come and take them to be with Him. Then he says in verse 11, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The harvest of righteousness. He's praying that the harvest will be bountiful. And for what reason? To the glory and praise of God. To the glory of God. This is a Reformation principle. Soli Deo Gloria. Everything for the glory of God. You know, when I sign my podcast entries at the end, it says SDG, Soli Deo Gloria. That's the way that Handel would sign his manuscripts when he wrote his music. That's the way Bach would sign his manuscripts when he wrote his music. Soli Deo Gloria. Nothing about me is spectacular. Everything needs to be for the glory of God and God alone. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, he writes, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understand the grace of God in truth. Paul wants an increase. He desires an increase in the gospel. That there would be a harvest of righteousness before the day of the Lord. Over the next 9 weeks, we will be deep in the book of Philippians. My prayer, like Paul's, is that you will increase in love for one another, joy in your hardship, and grow in the knowledge of God's eternal grace for you. That this church might be the seed of a bountiful harvest. This we can only do by sharing the gospel with everyone we meet. And as the gospel is central to everything we do, we must first know what the good news is. The good news is not prosperity in this life, that much we know. For many who are deeply faithful to Christ are suffering even now. Certainly Paul suffered in Rome. Yet even his sufferings could not undermine the joy he felt in the gospel. It is the hope of salvation for all who believe. So I invite you to join me on this journey. And together, may we find joy unspeakable, unshakable, immovable. May God's eternal joy rest upon your souls, and may you be found perfect and blameless in the day of our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give great thanks to you for this good news which you have given to us. The good news that we were sinners, but that Christ has rescued us from our sin by dying for us the death that we deserve on the cross and being raised to new life in the resurrection. He defeated death for all of us. This is the good news. Let us keep that good news on the tip of our tongues at all times so that we can very easily share it with our friends, with our families, with our loved ones, with our neighbors, even with the people that we don't like. We thank you, God, that somebody shared this good news with us. And we joy in knowing that Christ has loved us this much. This joy cannot be shaken. This joy cannot be uprooted. It is deep in our hearts, and it comes from you, and it is eternal as you are eternal. And so, Lord, we give great thanks to you for the joy that is within us. We give thanks for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.